Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, March 17th. There are plenty of things that lead to distracted driving along Colorado's roadways. It could be eating, putting on makeup, or changing the station on your radio. While there's some uncertainty on how much texting and driving contributes to the problem, state lawmakers want to crack down on the process. Bensa Berkland has more.
Over the last 2 years, the number of traffic fatalities in Colorado has gone up by 25%. There are many reasons for the increase, but one stands out for Andy Karzian.
The phones these days, they're ubiquitous, whether you are looking at, you know, texting or emails, and we are such a plugged-in society that it makes it so simple to use them.
Karzian works for the Colorado Department of Transportation as the legislative liaison. He's helped lobby for the bill.
We have stats that show that 25% of Coloradans said that they read a message while they're driving, and 16% write messages while driving, and those are just the ones that are reporting that they did so.
Right now, texting and driving is a primary offense, meaning you can and will be pulled over for it. But the fine is one of the lowest penalties in the country, $50 and 1 point on your driver's license.
That is hardly an incentive for people to not text. So increasing the fine is a no-brainer.
And that's what Senate Bill 27 seeks to do. If approved, the penalty would jump to $300 and 4 points on your license, 12 points and you lose it for a year. The bill easily cleared the state Senate. It also tries to distinguish between data entry on a phone, such as texting and emailing, and other activities. David Hall is a sergeant with the Colorado State Patrol.
We do believe in law enforcement generally that there is a difference between engaging in a text conversation and the action and time it takes to dial a phone number or to pull up a map to look at traffic.
However, the measure also loosens some current restrictions by allowing texting if you're stopped at a red light or stuck in traffic. That's illegal right now. Republican Senator Owen Hill of Colorado Springs requested the change, which brought him and other members of his party on board.
It's got to be tied to dangerous behavior. Obviously, dangerous behavior is looking down for extended period of time and not looking at the road. That's not dangerous at the stoplight. There's a very high-tech form of technology to deal with those problems. If someone's not paying attention at a stoplight, it's called the horn.
Drivers would only get ticketed for texting if they're doing something careless, such as swerving or speeding. The bill's Democratic sponsor, Senator Lois Cord of Denver, says she's okay with the change.
If you're stuck in traffic, as Senator Hill has been saying all along, and you've got a wreck in front of you and you're going to be sitting there for half an hour, if you pull your phone out to say, honey, I'm running late, that shouldn't be an offense.
One argument against the measure has been that it won't change behavior. But Hall strongly disagrees with that notion.
I can prove it by saying if this was raised to $10,000, do you think you would ever pick up your phone in a car on the off chance that somebody like me would see you and write you a $10,000 ticket? So then it's just a matter of finding a sweet spot.
Figures from the Colorado Department of Transportation show that about a third of the state's fatalities are alcohol-related. And Hall says there's no clear data on just how many crashes are tied specifically to texting.
It's very difficult to find out what people are doing without pulling warrants and subpoenas for cell phone records. And even then, if I ask five people what time a crash happened, I get five different answers. And just because the data isn't there doesn't mean it's not happening.
But sometimes it's obvious. Hall says he vividly remembers arriving at a fatal crash and seeing the young driver's cell phone light still on. He read the text she had sent about her favorite song playing on the radio.
And it's just like that. 1 minute, somebody is alive and living their life, and the next minute, they're dead, and we're trying to figure out what's going on, and the song they were listening to on the radio is still playing. Of the 606 people who died on Colorado's roadways last year, about every single one of those did not contemplate that they would be dead by the time this song is over on the radio.
If the bill passes, Colorado would be able to get more federal money for public outreach. And it's not the first time state lawmakers have looked at the issue of cell phones and distracted driving. Previous efforts to prevent drivers from using cell phones altogether or requiring hands-free devices have failed. I'm Bente Berkland at the state capitol.
The state of Colorado would lose out on $14 billion in federal funding for Medicaid by the year 2030 if Congress repeals the Affordable Care Act and replaces it with the Republican-backed plan known as the American Health Care Act. According to a story in the Denver Post, a new report by the nonpartisan Colorado Health Institute was released yesterday and indicates that as well as the lost federal funding, 600,000 fewer people would be covered by Medicaid in the state by the year 2030. The Colorado Health Institute represents people who would have been covered by expanded Medicaid eligibility rules that the American Health Care Act would phase out. Because those people would have low, though not quite poverty-level incomes, the Colorado Health Institute predicts that many of them would be unable to afford insurance in the private market. The report is the first to provide specific numbers for how the American Health Care Act would impact Medicaid in the state. The bill would make two major changes to Medicaid. First, it would phase out the Medicaid expansion that allowed people slightly above the poverty line to be enrolled on the government-funded program. And second, it would cap the amount of money the federal government gives to states every year to run Medicaid. According to the report, the changes would pose a dilemma for the state because healthcare costs would likely rise faster than money coming in from the federal government. This would gradually shift responsibility for Colorado's multi-billion dollar Medicaid system onto the state budget. Unless the state can come up with new money to pay for it, the only options would be to cut back on who is eligible for Medicaid, reduce the services provided to those on Medicaid, or slash what the system pays to doctors for treating Medicaid patients. And in a Friday sports story, a longtime wrestling coach at Paonia High School is stepping down. Andy Pfeiffer, who led the Eagles to 5 2A state championships in his 21-year coaching career, announced that he will not be back to coach Paonia next season. The statistics that Pfeiffer piled up over the years are impressive. Since he started coaching in 1996, Paonia won the 5 state titles, including 3 consecutive, from 2012 to 2014. 14 different Eagles wrestlers won 21 individual state titles with Pfeiffer as coach, and 14 of them won multiple individual crowns. Pfeiffer's family is rich in wrestling tradition. Pfeiffer himself was a 2-time state champion at Hotchkiss, and his brother Chuck Pfeiffer is the coach at Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction. Pfeiffer's son, Bo Pfeiffer, was a 3-time state champion at Paonia and is currently a freshman at defending national champion Penn State. Pfeiffer has not ruled out a future return to coaching, but for now he said he wants to watch Bo wrestle in college and also wants to watch his daughter Carson Pfeiffer, who plays for basketball at CMU. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening. Thank you.